Hey, good day, good day. It's Father Tom. Glad to be with you. Do you know salvation is from the Jews? Do you know that Jesus was not a Roman Catholic? He was a Jewish man. Do you know he was circumcised on the eighth day? Do you know he was probably a Pharisee of Pharisees, but not so Pharisaical as we hear about in the Scripture, but knew the law? Do you know that he fulfilled the law and he fulfilled the prophets? Do you know that we are living in the time of the Gentiles right now? Do you know that the Spirit of God now has come upon the Gentiles, but the Scripture says that when the full number of Gentiles have come into the church, I'm going to tell you, it will be the time of the Jews. Today we have with us Roy Schumann, who wrote a wonderful book. It says, Salvation is from the Jews. Hallelujah! I want to ask Roy to talk about the coming in of our Jewish brothers and sisters into the kingdom and into the church. Roy, glad to have you with me today.
Great to be here. Thanks, Father Tom. You know, as you said, mentioning Romans 11, Scripture says that Jesus can't come again until the Jews enter the church. And I am infinitely grateful for having been brought into the church by a sovereign act of God. And all I can do is turn around and almost feel a little bit resentful that nobody preached the gospel to me. They felt that because I was Jewish, somehow it would be rude to me, it would be offensive to me, it would be unfair to me. How can it be unfair to me to bring me Jesus? We, the Jews, brought the Gentiles Jesus. Isn't it time to return the favor?
It certainly is. And you know what? One of the things that I'm so grateful about that I'm on the radio, I know Jewish people listen to me. And so they won't come to the church, but you want to know, they listen to me. I know that my cousin used to work at Peabody High School, and the Jewish teachers used to listen to me on their lunch break. And I'm so grateful that the gospel is to the Jew first, and then to the Greek, then to the Gentile. So that's what St. Paul said. And I believe that. I believe that. And you being a Jewish Christian, a Catholic, a Catholic that's come into the church, that's the last thing you wanted to be, but yet that's where the Lord brought you. You know, the point of the matter is, you know, let's go after our brothers and sisters, the Jews. Let's love them. For the times that history has hated them, let's ask mercy, let's ask forgiveness, but let's not hold the gospel from them, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then to the Greek.
Amen. And I know from my experience being Jewish, of course, that all my life until I came into the church, all my life until I met Jesus, all my life until I received the sacraments, there was a huge hole in the middle of me where Jesus was supposed to fit. And if there is a characteristic Jewish nature, if there's a characteristic Jewish spiritual nature, it's got to be a hunger and thirst for the Messiah, because that's what they were made for, that's what they were chosen for, that's what they were trained for. God put them on earth to pray for the coming of the Messiah, to bring about the coming of Jesus. And that thirst, that hunger, that hole in them is still there.
And the Scripture says that when St. Paul went to an area, the first place he went was to the synagogue to preach. He did not go into the Areopagus first. He went to the synagogue first, wherever there was a synagogue, because the salvation is from the Jews and first to the Jews. Without the preaching of the gospel, we're in lots of trouble. You ever hear the story about Vincent Ferrer that went into the Jewish synagogue, and as he proclaimed, you know, he just went in, he was moved by the Holy Ghost, went into the Jewish synagogue and proclaimed the cross of Jesus, and each one of those people that day were brought into salvation. You know, that's guts. He went into a Jewish synagogue filled with people, Vincent Ferrer, and what does he do? He starts to preach Christ. They didn't throw him out for whatever reason. The Spirit of God must have been on him so heavy. They were all converted. And you know what he said? He said, it is our duty to do this, to love them, but to love them so much that we love them and care for them and preach the truth to them.
Amen. How can you be loving them if you don't want to bring them to the real meaning of life, to the real happiness in life, and also to the real meaning of their own Judaism? I mean, all my life, again, being brought up Jewish, I had heard that the Jews were the chosen people, that they were especially favored by God, but there was a mystery. What were they? I mean, what did that mean to be the chosen people? Now that I'm a Catholic, I know that there was far more glory in being Jewish. There is far more glory in being Jewish than I ever imagined. I mean, imagine when God incarnated as a man, he incarnated as a Jew. When God wanted to make his revelation known to mankind, he chose the Jews to make it through. He chose a Jewish woman to be the only conceived without sin human being to have flesh and blood pure enough for the Son of God to incarnate in her womb. What an honor, what a glory to being Jewish. And the church should at least be reflecting to the Jews this incredibly positive view of Judaism, not their misguided sense that, oh, if you want to be nice to the Jews, if you want to present a positive view to the Jews, tell them that Judaism is just as good as Catholicism and they don't have to think about converting. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. Judaism, I mean, the honor and the nobility of being Jewish is nowhere revealed like it is in the Catholic Church faith.
Tell me about that, because you know what? I have a lot of Jewish listeners that go to Protestant churches. Now, tell me a little bit about your conversion, because you've done it before, but I think it's the best. I'd love to hear what God did, because you weren't even looking for him, but seeds were planted, thanks be to God, someone preached. Seeds were planted. Tell us about what happened.
I would love to. At the time of my initial conversion experience, I was 30 years old. I was a professor at Harvard Business School. I was appointed to the faculty of Harvard Business School at 29. I was obviously a kind of, up-and-coming yuppie, par excellence, and what had happened was the following, which was all my life I had this hunger and thirst for real meaning in life and thought that I would find it someday and associated it with external success, and here I was a professor at Harvard Business School at 29, and I had all the success that I could ever hope for, and there was still no real meaning or purpose to life, and so I actually entered the deepest depression of my life because there was nothing more to look forward to, and yet still nothing made sense, and in this kind of a gloom I was walking in the woods behind the beach at Cape Cod early one morning, lost in my thoughts, and I received the single most spectacular grace of my life. I was just walking along, and from one moment to the next, I sometimes describe it as I fell into heaven. I found myself in the presence of God, seeing my life as I would see it after death in the presence of God. And in an instant, I knew everything. I knew that when I died, my two greatest regrets would be all of the time and energy I worried about not being loved, when every instant of my existence I was held in an ocean of love, greater than I imagined could exist coming from this all-loving God. And the other great regret would be every hour I had wasted doing nothing of value in the eyes of heaven. I knew from one instant to the next that everything we did had a moral content that mattered for all eternity, that we would live forever, that we would be grateful for all eternity for everything we did in our life that in some sense gained merit, that was of value in the eyes of God. I saw that everything that had ever happened to me in my whole life had been the most perfect thing that could have been arranged coming from the hand of this all-knowing, all-loving God, especially those things which had caused the most suffering at the time that I had thought of as the greatest catastrophes. And I knew from one instant to the next, here all my life I was worried about life having no meaning, and life had an infinity of meaning greater than I imagined could exist. Every instant had an infinity of meaning which would matter for all eternity. Amen.
Hallelujah. That was the beginning.
That was the beginning. So I prayed on the spot to let me know your name so that I would know what religion to follow to worship this Lord and Master who is revealing himself to me. And I prayed on the spot, let me know your name. I don't mind if you're Buddha and I have to become a Buddhist. I don't mind if you're Apollo and I have to become a Roman pagan. I don't mind if you're Krishna and I have to become a Hindu, as long as you're not Christ and I have to become Christian. So he respected that prayer. He didn't tell me his name. But after that, I went home happy for the first time since childhood, because I knew it was all true. I knew we lived forever. I knew we were held in the hands of this all-loving God every moment of our existence and so forth. But I still wanted nothing. I mean, at this point, nothing mattered except God, right? You go spend all your life wishing that this was all true, and then you find out it's true. Of course, none of this other stuff mattered at that point. So every night before going to sleep, I would say a prayer to know the name of that Lord and Master who had revealed himself to me that day. And a year to the day after the initial experience, I went to sleep. I felt as though I were woken by a hand on my shoulder. Now, I know this was a dream, but it felt as though I was woken. I was led to a room and left alone with the most beautiful young woman I could imagine. I knew without being told I was the Blessed Virgin Mary. Just to be in her presence, just to be in the presence of the intensity and purity of love flowing from her, was to be in a greater state of euphoria, of ecstasy, actually, than I ever imagined could exist. I know it was a taste of heaven. She offered to answer any questions I might have. I remember posing a few questions, asking her the questions, the answers. The next morning, when I woke up, obviously I knew it had been Christ on the beach. I knew I wanted nothing other than to be as fully and completely a Christian as possible. Amen and hallelujah.
Glory. My Lord. My Lord. I've been a Catholic for 40 days after my birth. I've never experienced anything like that. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? That is the best. That is the best. That is the best.
Now, it's, I mean, I'm very, needless to say, infinitely grateful that I received such a spectacular favor or grace to bring me into the church. I have another book. You mentioned the book Salvation is from the Jews. I have another book coming out in the spring from Ignatius Press also called Honey from the Rock, 16 Jews Find the Sweetness of Christ. It's all Jewish witness testimonies. Almost all of them are miraculous and spectacular like that, apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, an IBM middle manager who's taken up to heaven from his desk at IBM one day, and so forth. But in a way, it's tragic because the reason Jews have to receive these revelations to come to the faith is in part because they aren't being preached to. Maybe if there was more openness to preaching to the Jews, to inviting them into the church, God wouldn't have to use these extraordinary means all the time.
I'm delighted for the extraordinary means, but I think there are ordinary means, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we truly believe the scriptures tell us, they tell us very, very pointedly that salvation is not only from the Jews, but the proclamation is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I believe that. Oh, people say, you're a fundamentalist. Hallelujah, call me what you want. I don't even know what I am at this point. I know I'm a Catholic. I don't know if I'm a fundamentalist. I don't know what I am, but I do know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And without the proclamation of the word of God, the Jews, as well as the Catholics and the Gentiles, will not come to Christ. And you know, the last thing before the coming of Christ, as Roy said, will be that the Jews will come into the kingdom and into the church. That's what the scripture says every Jew will be saved. That's what Saint Paul says.
Amen.
It is a time of the Gentiles and a time of the Jews. We are in the final minutes of the time of the Gentiles, if you would ask me. The final minutes of the time of the Gentiles, and then the door will be closed. And the way Jews come to Christ in dribs and drabs, then Gentiles will come to Christ dribs and drabs. And then the door will be open totally for the Jews, and there'll be mass conversions, and hopefully conversions at mass.
Amen. The scripture citation that you're referring to is Romans 11, verses 25 and 26. St. Paul says flat out, lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery, brethren. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles come in, and then all Israel will be saved.
All Israel will be saved. Hallelujah! Isn't that wonderful? That's why I find it so blessed to be able to preach to Jews and to have Jewish people with me and to speak about the Messiah, about Yeshua, about Jesus of Nazareth, the one who is and was and is to come, about Miriam of Nazareth. Now, you mentioned Mary, you know, conceived without sin. Can we get that from the Old Testament, that she's conceived without sin? Can a sinner produce someone that's not a sinner? Like, let's look at the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was made of Archaea wood. That was where the presence of God was. It was pure, 100%, no flaws. Now you might say, what about Mary? All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, you know, Jesus is a man. True God and true man. So Jesus breaks that rule. But he's a man. He's truly, fully man. He didn't sin. Scripture says he was without sin, like us in all things but sin. What about Mary? I'm going to tell you, Miriam was not a sinner. You might say, how do you know? Because she produces the greatest, the holiest, the Lord. She who is a branch on the vine produces the vine. Figure it out, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Miriam of Nazareth is the Ark of the Covenant. You read it. The Ark of the Covenant stayed in 2 Samuel 6 in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And then brought into Jerusalem. And people were jumping for joy, especially David, half naked. Then Miriam of Nazareth goes to the same place, the hill country of Judah, for 3 months. Stays with Elizabeth. There's a great blessing in Zechariah's house. I'm going to tell you, Elizabeth is not Zechariah's house, but in Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom's wife probably going to have a baby. That's the blessing in the Bible. It's not hitting the megabucks. Bible talks about blessing his children. That's what I understand. Not the megabucks. Not even the new auditorium for the church. It's children. And as the Ark of the Covenant stayed in the
hill country of Judah for 3 months, so did Mary the Ark of the Covenant stay in the hill country of Judah for 3 months. Remember what it says about that area in Isaiah 5. I looked for sweet grapes and I found sour ones. I tell you now, the vineyard of the Lord, the vineyard of the Lord, the vineyard of the Lord is different now. It's not only the house of Israel, but the vine himself is Jesus Christ the Lord. And David danced before the ark, and then we have little John the Baptist in the womb of Mary, 6 months, jumping in for joy before Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. Listen, Mary's the Ark of the Covenant, conceived without sin, like it or not. Like it or not. And you'll know that in heaven. You say, I don't know that now. Hallelujah. You'll know it in heaven. You'll know it in heaven. You'll know it in heaven. Tell us some more. I want to hear some more about the Jews.
Let me start, I guess, with another scripture quote from Jesus, which makes this make a little more sense, maybe. Just before the crucifixion, Jesus is prophesying the fall of Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world, roaring of the sea and the waves, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Hallelujah. And Luke says, not only will they be fainting with anticipation, but men will die in anticipation of what's happening in the stars and the sky and in the waves, this anticipation of the coming of Messiah. People will die, and Luke says, beware lest it catch you like a trap.
And there's in this timeline that Jesus is laying out, I think there's something very interesting from the perspective of the conversion of the Jews, because Jesus is saying Jerusalem will fall by the edge of the sword and Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. This was literally fulfilled in 70 AD. Jerusalem fell by the edge of the sword and was trodden down by the Gentiles, i.e. held in Gentile hands, until 1967 AD.
That's right.
Which is the first time that Jerusalem, the heart of Jerusalem, the old city, returned to Jewish hands since 70 AD. And then what does Jesus do? He immediately goes into a description of the times before the second coming.
This is another issue. You know, the church better be careful. The church better be careful. Because the issue is that the high priest Caiaphas said it was better for one man to die for the nation. So he gave up Jesus. You know why? Because if Caesar found out that they were calling him a king, because they were calling him king of the Jews after the resurrection of Lazarus, then they would close the temple. Caiaphas gave up Jesus, and the temple closed in the year 70. Give up Jesus, and you close your doors. Give up Jesus Christ, and you close your doors. Give up Jesus. I tell you, you can't give up Jesus. He's the Father's beloved Son. He's the Father's love. He's the Father's image. He is true God and true man. He is Messiah of the Jew and the Gentile. Give up Jesus? I tell you, I'm not going to be politically correct with the Jewish people. I want to be loving with the Jewish people. I want to say your Messiah is Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord to reveal it. Ask him to reveal it. I can't reveal it. That's revelation by the Holy Ghost. We heard what Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. We hear Martha saying the same thing when Jesus said, do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life? Martha said the same thing. I've come to believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood, Martha, has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father, through the power of the Spirit. I'm telling you, it's only the Spirit that reveals Jesus. For when the Spirit comes, St. John says, he shall glorify me. Hallelujah. That's the vocation of the Holy Ghost, to glorify the Lord, Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. But there's something that can certainly help pave the way for the Holy Ghost to bring Jews to faith in Christ, and that is love, and that's love coming from Catholics. I think that it would do a world of good. I mean, I know that, again, growing up Jewish, I always assumed that Catholics would somehow hold me in disdain or contempt for being Jewish. If a Catholic had come up to me and said, I want to thank you for bringing us Jesus, do you have any idea how glorious it is to be Jewish? What I would give to be related by blood to the Son of Man? I mean, if you simply share the true view of Judaism, which is inherent in the Catholic faith, it'll turn around the Jews' defensive attitude, because I had a chip on my shoulder. I thought they wouldn't want me. I thought they would think that I was inferior. I had no idea that if they really understood the Catholic faith, if anything, they would kind of be a little bit envious of the implicit, I know it's not true superiority, but, you know, it can produce that kind of atmosphere when you think that Jesus was a Jew. Now, no one had ever reflected this to me. No Catholic had ever reflected this to me. Another thing I think that would do a world of good in preparing the way with love is just let your Jewish co-workers, neighbors, friends know what Jesus means to you, know what prayer life means to you, know what the Blessed Mother means to you, know what the Blessed Sacrament means to you.
Hallelujah.
If you show up at work one morning having come from Mass and you're smiling and some Jew says, you know, what are you so happy about? Let him know it's because you just received God, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Sacrament.
Hallelujah. And you know what? You know what? Last night, Rochelle Harris, she comes to our service. I love Rochelle. She used to be on WEZE. I love Rochelle. She's my favorite Jewish woman outside of Miriam. And Rochelle was there. She said, you know, do you have the eternal light before the tabernacle? I said, yes. And I've told her before, you have the eternal light in the synagogue before the tabernacle, which holds the law. We have the eternal light before the tabernacle that holds the Lord. Because the old covenant says the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. We don't have the law in the tabernacle, but our Lord is in the tabernacle. The Word made flesh. Hallelujah. This is reality. This is reality.
They're everywhere you look in the Catholic Church. It's been my experience, it's been the experience of all the other Jews I know who have become Catholic, that it's not a conversion at all. I mean, people say, congratulations on your conversion. It's not a conversion at all. If the Catholic faith is true, the Catholic faith is the continuation of Judaism after the coming of the Messiah.
Amen.
Everything in Judaism is still there in the Catholic faith, only fulfilled and completed. Of course, all of the Jewish scriptures are held as sacred scripture by the Catholic Church. But even more than that, as you point out, everything you saw in synagogue worship, everything you saw in Jewish devotion, it's still there, only revealed in its true meaning, its true glory, its true fulfillment in the Catholic faith.
Tell us about your book, because this is a book for everyone to have. This is a book because we do not know that to be a Catholic is to be a good Jew. If you're not a good Jew, you can't be a good Catholic. I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. If you don't know your roots, and that's the problem, you know, people, they moved to West Peabody, some of them, or they moved to Georgetown, and they came from East Boston, they forget their roots. Who needs people like that? You forget your spiritual roots are from Jerusalem, are from the Jews, are from Father Abraham and Mother Sarah. The scripture says, look to the rock, look to Abraham, and look to Sarah. They live by faith. Listen, let's hear about the book. How can they get it?
Okay, the book is called Salvation is from the Jews. My name is Roy Shoeman, S-C-H-O-E-M-A-N. It's published by Ignatius Press. It's all over the place. It's even in Barnes & Nobles and Borders. It was Ignatius Press's second best-selling book the year it came out, in fact. The cheapest place to get it is Amazon.com, probably. The subtitle is The Role of Judaism in Salvation History from Abraham to the Second Coming, and that's what it is. It's the role of Judaism in salvation history, actually from the fall in the Garden of Eden to the Second Coming. I wrote it expecting it to be of interest to Jewish Catholics. I had no idea how much interest it would be to cradle Catholics. I've gotten hundreds of emails and letters from Catholics who have told me, I've even gotten letters from Catholics who say the book has brought them back to the church, back to the faith, but from many who say that it's just opened up, it's just tremendously renewed and revitalized their faith, that Catholics can have a danger of thinking they're Catholic because their parents are Catholic and they're born Catholic. That's not what being Catholic is about. Catholicism is the truth. It's the truth of God's relationship to man, beginning with the fall in the Garden of Eden and running through all eternity, but certainly until the Second Coming. And when you see the tapestry of Judaism flowing into Catholicism, this becomes all the more vivid.
Okay, if let's say you gave me a whole group of books. How much could I sell them for if they just wrote to me?
Well, the book retails for $18, but I could give you a bunch of books, and you could sell them for $12.
Okay, $12, and I want $16 so that we can send them by mail. I want $15 so we can send them by mail. We'll even mail them for you. Okay, so you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. That Salvation is from the Jews. $15, we'll mail them to you. We'll mail them to you. $15. And you know, we don't want one penny of this money. We want to give it to Roy for his ministry because God has been using him powerfully. I want people to get this book, Salvation is from the Jews. You write for it, and I'll send it to you for $15. That's postpaid. This is something to learn about your roots. Even if you don't read it in a month, you read a little at a time so that you can be grounded in the Hebrew scriptures, in Judaism. Yes, my Messiah is a Jew. The Lord is Jewish. He comes from the house of David, born of a virgin, even as it was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. Let me tell you. So the name of the book is Salvation is from the Jews. You send me $15, and I will send, and you have to ask for the book, I will send the books out to you. We will do all the mailing so that you can be blessed by this book, Salvation is from the Jews, by Roy Shoman. And if you can't remember his last name, just say Roy, it's enough, because we'll know what it means. And also, this Sunday, we're having a live nativity at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop at 3:30 to 5, and then we're having a family mission for everybody, children. We want children to come. This is not a talk at mission. This is a mission that's going to touch adults as well as children, single people as well as grandfathers and grandmothers. It starts at 6:30 on Sunday. And now, let me just tell you again, 3:30 to 5, live nativity at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. We sing Christmas carols, and then we have at 6:30 our family mission. Please come. It's all about the heart of Jesus. God bless you.